Hello, I am Katrina Collier, and as part of my mission to inspire all the people that recruit people to treat people better, I bring you the Hiring Partner Perspective Unedited podcast. Here, you will hear from those hiring leaders who create true partnerships with recruiters, HR, and talent acquisition because they know that it delivers a better result for the business and a better human experience. May this podcast inspire other hiring leaders to create better partnerships with their recruiters and HR. And may it inspire recruiters to create true and valuable partnerships with their hiring leaders. Because people make businesses succeed and people matter. So let us begin. Tracy Parsons, welcome to the Hiring Partner Perspective podcast, proudly supported by you, the people at WorkDrive. I am so excited to have you here. But welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's amazing to be here. And anytime I get to talk to you is just a joyful occurrence in my calendar.
Every time I think of you, I think of you and me and Christopher Kurtz and those green glasses and like our thing, we'd always take the selfie.
I miss you guys so much. I miss everybody, which is funny because I'm very introverted, but when I go to conferences, I have so much fun and then I go sleep for a week.
Yes. Actually, I wouldn't have thought you were introverted. So that's interesting. You're like me then, loud introvert. So tell us a bit about your background before we obviously get onto the fact you are, of course, the fabulous sponsor of this show, but tell me about your background. So it's interesting. So you've done it all except the actual recruitment.
Right, right.
As in the recruiter role.
Exactly.
You've been on the fringes.
I started my career in journalism, which is what I studied in college at university. And I determined that that was an untenable thing. But at the time, I started falling in love with digital. In fact, when I was working for a newspaper in the 1990s, I launched their
2000s.
I really legitimately don't. I launched their digital newspaper and I kind of fell in love with digital at the time. Yeah. And I still love digital.
Oh my God. Can you imagine hearing this as somebody who's grown up with it and just like, what do you mean launched a digital newspaper? Like we've been through so much amazing change. We're so lucky that we've seen it all.
And that's what I keep telling people. And it's very strange to still be working in this industry, knowing that it's possible I was responsible for the first recruitment banner ad on the internet.
Yeah, of course.
Right. So, you know, banner ads on the internet, I made one in 1997. You know, launched social recruiting for a customer on MySpace. So, I mean, I know.
It's extraordinary to think MySpace disappeared, isn't it?
Right. And then every now and then when you think about MySpace, you're like, oh, poor, and people are like, oh, poor Tom. I'm like, no, Tom did well. Tom's okay. Mm. We should all be a little more like Tom. I'm going to take my money and go be quiet now. But, you know, it's interesting to have watched all of this whole thing grow up, pushing it to grow up, encouraging it to grow up. It's, you know, I feel a little motherly about the modern recruitment marketing experience and how employer brand has transpired. And I remember I worked at the agency. I worked at a recruitment marketing agency years ago. And I remember pushing them. I was like, you guys really need to start thinking about how we're going to, you know, get people to have career websites. And they just looked at me like I was a crazy person. Why would we do that? Who's going to do that? So
I had to laugh. Someone shared my blog. I don't even know why. I'm going like the biggest traffic to my blog is from 10 things to do before you pay for a LinkedIn careers tab. And it's
okay,
like a blog
awesome.
From 2014. And unfortunately, that's my, and I'm like, yeah, that's probably not really helping me now, but it's like, it was a thing. The world
right.
changed.
It has absolutely, and it continues to change and evolve and it continues to grow. And it's one of those things that I've always come at my job and my approach to this industry as a employer, as an employee, as a talent first person. Like if we are not solutioning For the worker, for the employee, for the candidate, if we're not developing solutions for them, we have no solution. We cannot progress as a business if we don't appeal to the talent. And I don't mean appeal in the foosball, we're awesome for everybody way. I mean, in a real way. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, I saw, I think Chad Sowash posted a picture from somebody's, you know, sandwich board outside their shop is, you know, crappy management, crappy pay, apply now. right. And, you know, maybe they're over indexing on honesty there. But you know, we can't, we've been over indexing on not anonymous. Right.
In a way though, when you think about, and I'm sure I talk about this in the Robot Proof Recruiter, when we started out, because I think we're similar age group, and all the listeners know I'm 50 shortly, so I keep talking about that. But, you know, employee care, like employee engagement or experience just didn't matter, let alone candidates. Nobody cared because there wasn't the internet. There wasn't that ability to go search for all of the jobs that are out there and pick and choose amongst it. And that's still happening now, pandemic or not. And that's why what you do is so important. The internet changed everything.
It did. It did. And I always tell people, I was like, you know, despite the fact that it changed everything, it didn't really change a lot of things. Right. So, you know, we just kept retrofitting things into, right. So, you know, a job.
Yeah, there's a few things that should have got changed.
Yeah, right. Like,
okay, it changed most things.
you know, it prove me wrong. A help wanted ad or a help wanted sign is a newspaper ad, is a job board ad, is a Facebook ad. Prove me wrong. Like, they're all the same. Like, they're different delivery. They're different reach. There's a little bit more words or less words in the case of Twitter.
Images.
It's totally a little bit more visual. And again, the reach is different. We can find more things. We have access. We have access to more people. People have more access to jobs. And again, we keep retrofitting old solutions to the current thing. And we keep doing this without, I don't know, talking to the humans we need to hire.
Yeah, that's very true. Actually, just quickly, tell us what you're up to right now. Before we go back to that human point, because we're not going to miss that. So you're a consultant and owner of Parsons Strategic Consulting.
I am.
Of course, you're the founder of WorkDrive.
I am the founder of WorkDrive. Yeah.
I thank you enough for just jumping on and saying, of course, I'll support you, Katrina. You're amazing. So I appreciate that.
And every time, any day, of course I would. Yeah. So we've seen the problem evolve over the last 5 years. Where we keep seeing companies try to dump more names in the top of the funnel, right? And we're getting to that being an unsustainable model because we're running out of names to dump into the top of the funnel. And so
you're going out to market and looking for more people to recruit all the time.
Yep.
I'm translating marketing speak to recruitment
Thank
speak.
Thank you. Yes. You know, go find more new names. Go find more new people. Go find more new. And at the same time, I'm working with a customer on their candidate experience design. So how we appeal to people, how we bring our brand through the entire experience, how we make things easier when they should be easy, how we make things harder when they should be hard.
Yeah.
And you know, we talk about this as the redistribution of friction in the experience, because there are decision points. Like, this isn't like buying a bag of Doritos. Like, this is
your career.
Big life choice, right?
Yeah.
And so we redesigned this customer's experience. They started seeing incredible results from external candidates, right? So I think that at one point early on, they were converting 54% of the visitors to their career site into a completed application. And they were quite high quality. We did the same thing on the
health sector, right? Where it's quite hard to recruit, was it?
This is government. So it's everything. Okay. It's literally wrench turners on aircraft carriers to people that are programming drones to stop flying in the sky.
So still difficult to recruit area.
Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so we started looking at their internal conversions And we found that their internal talent was 5 times less likely to convert than external.
Okay.
And so I said, hey, we've got this tech that's been sitting on a shelf. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
And it's basically trying to make it easy for your best people to stay. Like, that's what Work Drive is all about, right? Yeah. How are we making it easy? Because quite frankly, most companies have no idea what talent exists in their organization, who does what, what they're passionate about, what they aspire to be, what they want to grow with, right? We treat them as stagnant. Like, this is who you were on the day that we hired you.
And you're in your little team,
right?
Wherever you are.
Right.
And that team doesn't talk to that team, and there's no... Yeah. There's no mapping, is there, across?
There's no mapping. There's no knowledge, let alone mapping, right? We can't map something if we have no data. It's just a blank screen. And at the same time, so companies don't know what they have and employees don't know what's available to them.
Which just means they leave.
Correct, right? Because it's easier for them to just go somewhere else because I don't know where to look.
Yeah.
So we've developed this tech that, gets the employees. It makes it very simple for them to set up a profile. It's like 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Tell us what you love doing in your skills. And again, our tool, ties into your HCM. So we have all that data about you. We know everything. And so it's more about confirmation than creation. And then once you've created this profile or confirmed your profile and told us a little bit about the things that you love doing and what you aspire to be, we start matching you to jobs that are already available in your company.
Okay,
and then you can apply with one click.
So I love that, but I'm immediately feeling the hiring manager resistance. And obviously this is a podcast for hiring managers and recruiters. So
yeah, of course.
Like, I'm not letting Tracy out of my team. She's fabulous. No, I don't care. She wants to go and work over there in a completely different area of the company and earn twice as much. I don't care. She's not going. How do you get over the resistance?
She's going to leave anyway.
That's it. You just go, too bad, you're going to lose her anyway. So
you're going to lose her anyway. She's ready to move on.
I need more persuasion than that. Come on.
Yeah, I don't have it. And you know what? If you're a good manager, you're going to care about the ROI that's going to deliver to the company. You're going to care. True. Like, again, when I was a hiring manager, my number one goal was to grow them into something better. And if it wasn't with me, oh my God, yay, I did my job.
Mm.
Right. This for me, my talent is about trajectory. Their trajectory is a reflection on my skill of managing them.
We need to get more managers feeling that way.
We do. We do.
Actually, to be honest, in talent acquisition, we need to get
So, and then the other component to Work Drive is the ability for recruiters to anonymously source your talent.
Love that.
So we're reducing bias, right? We want great people to elevate in the company. And we also want your employees to trust the system, which is why we anonymize their data.
Love that.
Yeah.
So you've got retention, you've got people getting to do what they love, which I think is what
and
you
staying,
love doing. Getting to say, I love doing this. I want to, and giving people an opportunity to stay. And obviously the bias, that's all very cool.
Thank you. We're really proud of it.
It fits with my values, or else you wouldn't be my sponsor, would you? Because me and my humans, it's all about
exactly.
humans.
It really is, right? It really, really is. And so I was actually talking to somebody who was like, well, there are other companies that do what you're doing. I'm like, of course there are. Like, if we were first, look, I've been first before. It's not easy being first.
No.
But you know, and he was like, because they do the matching. They don't have the employees go through the minute of telling us about themselves. Why would we want to know that? I was like, what does the machine know that I love? Hmm. Like, the machine's not going to know that I love something. If there's a skill that I have that I want to grow with and I love, the machine's not going to know that.
No.
I'm going to know that.
Yeah.
Trust your people.
Yeah. But also we don't tend to, this is the thing I always get. So I get all of these AI technology companies getting in touch and going, it's like, did you read the title of my book first? But no. I actually love tech. I like to see it as well. But they get in touch and they're like, oh yeah, we can use our AI and it's going to source on all of those LinkedIn profiles and CVs and resumes and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but sure, you can't write them. People won't add the skill, like you're saying. They won't say, oh, I'd really love to head in that direction, because people feel they need to write about their past experience. Mm-hmm. So by the sounds of it, mm-hmm. work drive is future.
It is, and well, it's really present. It is, and it's skills based as opposed to resumes based, right? Mm. We take what we know about you based on your resume, mm. and we serve you up the skills that are relevant based on what we're reading there.
Yeah.
And of course, you can add as many skills as you want. Like, this is your tool. This is your drive to store your work. Like, this is where you store your work.
Yeah. No, I love it.
Thanks.
So going back a minute ago, you said you used to be a hiring manager.
I was.
What was that like? What did you enjoy about it? And what did you hate about it?
So the thing that I enjoyed about it was the partnering with the experts. Like, I loved working with my recruiters. They would inform me, right? They would tell me what it was like. They would tell me if I was being unrealistic, because they're my expert. Like, this is the look, there are certain things
I'm good at. Unicorns.
Look, there are things that I'm good at, Katrina, and there are things that I'm not good at. And I tell me where I'm wrong. I'm totally fine with that. Mm. And, so I loved partnering with my experts. The thing that I hated was intake. I was terrible about intake because I didn't want to stop and write it down. And I know, right. I didn't want to stop and write it down. I'm being honest. Like, this is the real part. Yeah. But if we were going to have a conversation, we would have a conversation, and I was the worst because I was like, I just need another one of this person. And of course their response would be like, I'm sorry, the cologne machine is not working today. So I need
you. Would they come in and sit with you?
Would the recruiter come in and sit with me?
To get the intake?
No. We would sometimes do a call, because we were in different locations. Okay. So our recruiters were in New York and I was out on the West Coast. So we would do phone calls, you know, before we had video chats.
I do like the fact that even though this is audio only, we can see each other. It does help to see your facial expressions. And of course, you are in the Robot Proof Recruiter. Actually, I love it. My friend Melanie Silverman goes by Silverman Melanie 99. She's so proud to be in here. You're Parsons Tracy 163 and 212. But importantly, though, in there, I did realize that chapter 5, which is all about the intake strategy session, it is so incredibly important.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to hear you say, I didn't enjoy that. But actually, if you spend that sit down, be it on video, call, whatever, and not even write, talk, share, explain the problem, talk about the future of the role and all that sort of like almost brain dump in a way, if it needs to be. And if you've got that proper recruiter, they'll help you.
Well, and that's you're talking about the thing that I did love. So if somebody sent me a form and they were like, fill out this form of what you need, that doesn't work for me, right? But if we're gonna have a conversation, then that's gonna work for me, because I hated filling out a form.
Yeah.
Right. And for me, it dehumanized the person that I wanted to hire.
Yeah.
Right. It made me feel like I was ordering a desk or a computer. Mm. And I don't want to order a human on a form. I want my recruiter to call me and let's have this conversation. Mm. And the ones that worked the best hires that we got were where it was a real dialogue and there was so much probing, like, okay, well, I heard you say this, but what if it was manifested in this way so that we can continue to refine those things. And it's funny. I use that type of language today when I help, like there's some really good friends in small businesses here locally that are like, how can you help me figure out, like, I can't seem to find the right people for this job. Mm. And I always talk to them. I was like, okay, so I want you to think about the common characteristics that people have in common. They're like always like detail oriented and driven. And I was like, okay, those are outcomes.
Oh, for the people that didn't see my face just then, I just made a cross-eyed. I know. It's such a shame in a way it's not recorded, but I do like your audio, except for when I'm pulling faces.
Right.
So you would try and get rid of their buzzword bingo.
Yeah, right. And I love when people did that to me. Okay, so Tracy, I hear what you're saying, right? But everybody says that, and this doesn't make sense to the other people, right? Mm. So I think you're hitting on the right things. Like, if we're going to have, I loved those conversations. I did not love the form. Right. I also, I was never the hiring manager that said, show me five more. And anytime I was working with a hiring manager that would say, show me five more, I would lose my minds. and I plurals, I would lose all my minds.
Knowing you, you probably do have more than one, to be fair. All chatting at the same time.
All, and they're very noisy. Some of them have very good ideas. Some of them don't. But it was always interesting to me because I would, you know, I had peers and I had people that were hiring for our extended team that they were the hiring manager. And they'd be like, no, I think we need to see, you know, I need to see like five more. And I would go to them and I was like, so in the five pieces of paper that you just looked at, nobody was worth a conversation. Right? You have an expert human that you've just told to go scour the world and shortlist for you, and you're not trusting their shortlist. Yeah. And I would occasionally look and I was like, oh, okay. I bet you like to pick up all the oranges in the grocery store.
But also that comes back to my earlier point about people can't write their resumes. Can't write their LinkedIn profiles, and we're recruiting on that basis still, and until someone solves that problem, because they're really hard to write. It's really hard to blow your own trumpet without sounding like a knob.
Well, yes, and in fun fact,
by the way, I did X-rate that. Oh, did G-rate that from the word that was going to come out of my mouth? But
good girl.
It's true, it's a real balancing act. So people struggle to write them. Recruiters struggle to write their own. They look at them all day. So it's Yeah, that's really interesting. So hiring managers should actually trust their recruiter to have presented them people if they've given them a proper intake. That's really important. If they've sat down with them, be on the phone or video,
well,
given them the time up front, and then trust that they will come up with the people.
Well, yeah. And again, this is a trust thing. And the one thing I want to really double down on is proper intake. Because I will admit that there are instances where what we do as hiring managers and what we need this person to do as an employee may not be understandable by the recruiter. Right? That thing that this person does may be completely like, I don't know what you're talking about at all.
Well, because they're not doing the job. They're not sitting in the shoes. They're not.
Yeah, but I would also say that if you can't explain what that person does to literally anyone, you don't know what they do. If you can't come up with an analogy,
you're challenging back and saying,
that's right. As a hiring manager, if I can't explain this, what this person does to my mother, I don't know what that person does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would like to push back on all of us hiring managers out there to better understand and be able to communicate and translate what our actual humans do that makes a difference for the world.
So true. So bizarre. I just had this conversation with someone. I'm helping him with his CV resume for you.
Oh, I use CV too. Don't worry. Yeah.
I know. It's like, can we just call it one thing? Anyway, and I said to him, you need to stop writing it like the hiring manager's reading this, because you've got to get through a recruiter or HR to the hiring manager. So could you write this in English, not in he was writing in tech speak, shortened. And I'm like, no, I need the information. What do you mean by that? And it's like a similar thing.
It is.
Because there is somebody sitting in the middle.
Yeah.
All the time.
And you tell me if this is a terrible hiring manager habit, because one of the things that I would do that my recruiter may have hated, but they didn't tell me, was like I would source a few profiles of people that I knew that would be great And I would send those to a recruiter. Is that a good thing to do?
Or is that annoying? So obviously some people would pop up and say, oh gosh, that's bias. Because you're hiring people like you. But if you feel that they've got the background, it's really going to help them understand the role. No, I absolutely think it's a great thing to do.
Okay. Yeah. I always hurt. Well, one thing is the bias element, right? I think that they would be good. Why do I think they would be good, right? What do I know about this person that I can't convey to the recruiter?
Yes. So, well, and then that's where the recruiters need to partner. They need to sit up and partner. I say this so often. It's like my thing. Well, I'm doing a lot of work around that space. This is the mastermind. Like, come on, sit up, partner, which is when they should push back and they should probe and they should ask better questions.
Yes.
And then say, okay, Tracy, thank you for that profile. At a scan, I can kind of understand what you're saying. Tell me more. Because you're going to say something they can't see on that. They have to ask the questions. If they're not asking the questions, then it's not going to help. So I guess that's probably the tip you would give recruiters then, isn't it? Because I always have to have we've had plenty for hiring managers, but tips for recruiters to partner better.
Yeah.
Probe. It's painful.
Well, so I like to call it elegant pushback or dialogue, right? So I want to, if you really, again, I always encourage this thing. And the number one characteristic I hire off of is curiosity.
Yes.
Curious people work really well for me. And that's the, like that. So whenever somebody's doing an intake with me, and then if you don't follow that up with like 92 questions of give me examples of curiosity, like what am I looking for? Then I know that this might be a not a great partnership, right? Because that's a bold statement. I really enjoy working with people who are naturally curious.
Me too. They ask questions, but also they'll go look. You know, I love it when people go, who've just like connected with me on LinkedIn and, you know, right under their contact info has my email and on my profile has my email. And they'll go, what's your email? And I'm like,
it's right there, dude.
It's right there in your face, like literally right there. And yeah, and it's because they don't have any curiosity to just check. I will always check first. And if it's a personal email, then I'll say, what's your preferred? But it's that look curious.
Yeah.
But I put it in the mastermind as well and I get them to, what kind of questions would you use in an interview scenario to recruit for curiosity? Because I think it's so, so important.
Yes.
How do you question? All that sort of
stuff. Yes, exactly. Right. And so when we talk about like, and a lot of times I think that, again, whenever you're talking about a human dynamic, humans working with other humans is scary, right? Maybe that's why everybody's down with the robots right now, because like there's this element of, right, we all come from a place of, okay, not we all. I come from a place of low level anxiety. Like, is this person judging me or am I doing this right? Like I'm constantly wondering these things. And I think that when we take all of the different behaviors and history that humans have going into their day. And there's, you know, and then we want to make an impact together. And there has to be some sort of like alignment at some point in time. Right. And I think that's one of the things that we talk about that we don't talk about is that relationships between hiring managers and recruiters have history. They have baggage. They have emotions. They have drama. They have anxiety, right? And the failure to acknowledge all of those things as we move forward in a partnership is just setting us all up to be a little broken. And you know, the best relationships I had were when we would come to the table and say, "Okay, you know this thing, I know this thing. Let's know each other's things." So that we can get the right solution for the business. Because at the end of the day, we just need another person to do this job.
Yeah, exactly.
There's so no, true. And I don't, I, you know, there's always been, and maybe I'm just having an aha moment here. Maybe it comes from the power struggle that we've created between employers and people. Right. Yeah. There's this inherent assumption of a power position, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and we heard it with the war on talent, which you've heard me talk about this before. That drives me freaking bananas. There is no war. Like, nobody wants war. And if you want a war, you're in the wrong job, right? Like, there's other jobs that you could get your war, but they don't want war. Like, your candidates and your employees, they do not want war. They just want something, a nice job with great pay and benefits. It's not, this is, well, this should be more of a dance.
Enjoy and love.
Sure. Preferably. I mean, okay. But yes, that is like a nice
not
to
everyone
have.
Wants that, but yeah, most people.
Well, I will. Okay. So I'm going to tease a piece of research that's coming out in the next couple weeks. One of my customers has commissioned a very large scale social listening research study where we listen to the tens of millions of online conversations, trillions of impressions about the candidate experience from the candidates themselves.
You went to recruiting hell on Reddit.
No, well, Reddit's in there.
Oh, I love that channel.
All of it. And it's fascinating. We are, there's some really big learnings in here. So I will say that loving your job and being excited about your job is very, aspirational from our side. So it's okay. We're allowed to be aspirational. We're allowed to aspire. We want to aspire, right? That's a good thing. But our audience would just really like to be paid fairly.
Yes.
And work appropriate shifts.
And be treated like a human.
Right? The bar is much lower than what we're selling right now. So
other than obviously I'm going to get my personally signed copy of that, if people want a copy of that or to even connect with you, most wondrous one, what's the easiest? LinkedIn?
LinkedIn, Tracy, absolutely.
With an E.
Tracy with an E, Parsons. My tagline is the bringer of sunshine. It's true.
Exactly. You are.
And then Twitter at T Parsons. You can find me in both of those channels. Work Drive is WORQDRIVE.
They all know it. It's everywhere on the podcast. Everywhere.
So, you know, you can find me there. You can find me anywhere. Google me. My son takes a lot of pride that my face takes up the first page of Google's image search. He sends that to his friends in texts, like, look at my mom. Like, do you really need to do
that? That's so lovely. Because I have dreadful freeze frame. I also have a Google alert set up for Katrina Collier, which can be quite worrying sometimes.
I don't want that.
I'm having the better life of the Katrina Colliers. I keep saying it's not good. Anyway, on that slightly weird note, thank you, one, for supporting the podcast, of course, but two, for all of that today. How interesting.
So you're welcome.
I mean, I did realize writing the book, it's all about the intake, but actually hearing it from the hiring manager point of view is quite fascinating.
But yeah,
we must make it easy for our hiring managers to give us one.
Well,
no, don't give them a form. Don't send them.
Just don't give it a form. Yeah, don't give them a form. Don't give them a form.
In this day and age, that's where you could really use some great tech, couldn't you? Rather than sending a form.
Well, there is some great tech that I just realized could be repurposed for this intake process. Oh, I have some people to call when we're done.
I expect a commission. Thanks. Right.
No, they're going to give us shares.
Oh, that'll do.
100%.
Let us know. Anyway, Tracy, thank you again so, so much. It's been wonderful.
You're so welcome. It's always my pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Hiring Partner Perspective Unedited podcast, proudly supported by the people at WorkDrive. Hopefully you really enjoyed what you heard and have left feeling inspired. And if so, I would love your help to create real change. Please pass this podcast on to your hiring leaders and other recruiters and HR. Even share it on your social channels if you feel so inclined. But the more reach we can get, the more change we can create. So please remember to subscribe, of course, on your favorite podcast platform. And do come and say hello at Hiring Partner Perspective on Instagram, where I share behind the scenes of what's going on. Until next time, thank you.
how much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.